Happy 4th of July weekend. As we mark this holiday weekend and turn the calendar into July, we arrive at the midpoint of our calendar year. And as such, it's a good point to reflect on that central point of the Christian life. And our readings do that today. These readings speak of the cross, what to do with it, and where we're going with it. Jesus says what Christianity is: taking up the cross and following him. That call is certainly real. And the cross, as we know it, is real, particular to each person, as varied as the number of people there are in the church today, probably similarities. But the call of the cross and to follow Jesus is real. We say that word follow to describe so many things. We follow everything from the sports teams, maybe not the Phillies, but we follow Twitter. The following of Jesus is so different. There's a good meme out there on Facebook. It's Jesus and a young man on a park bench. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm not talking about Twitter. I really want you to follow me. I really want you to be with me, to keep my company, to learn from me how I think, how I walk, what I say, and what I do. My friends, to keep the company of Jesus is an adventure. And we grow in union. We begin to see what Jesus is like. We begin to see what a life of discipleship entails. And the fruit of that discipleship is union. We actually become one with God. He speaks of that in the gospel. He says, whoever receives you receives me. If you give a cup of cold water, you give it to me. Mother Teresa used to call this the five-finger gospel. You did it to me. So true is the power of following Jesus. I could follow another person and get arrested for stalking. You know, it's weird. But to follow, to be one in mind and heart with Jesus Christ, well, that's very different. The difference lies in the fact that as I keep company with Jesus, as I grow in union with him, there will be division. There will be division. If we start keeping company with Jesus, the company that we share with others will start changing. Ask any saint, Saul of Tarsus, before and after. His friendships, how he thought, how he related with people. How about Patrick? You know, he wasn't always a saint. There's a before and after, even in households. Jesus talking about households being divided. Can we even begin to imagine what he's talking about? We're so united, right, today? Not quite. There's division before and after in the Christian life. There's division within. There's division outside. But because Jesus is offering us a union with himself, with the truth, and because there is only one that is true, the division that Jesus brings about heals. It makes clear. It provides light and freedom. Freedom from all the lies and darkness, and a freedom for the other, for charity. And for those who seek that type of union, what good news that is. That we have a unity as Christians, not in diversity. We have a union not in a constitution. We have a union in the truth, in who we are as men and women, who we are as brothers and sisters, who we are as children of God. And the one thing that unites us all besides our flesh is the cross. The cross. And it's so ironic that it's in the cross that we find our peace. Because it's Jesus who picked up that cross. It's Jesus who gives peace. And in a divided age, in an age that chases after everything in an effort to find peace, we are reminded today it's not a chase at all, but it's a being grounded in the truth, with the truth, unafraid of the cross. My friends, I experience this often in the confessional, as I'm hearing confession, as I myself go to confession. I try to go as often as I need to, but it's at least once a month. And to bring crosses to the Lord so as to receive his light and his peace and his grace, to help others to do the same, it's so important. The Christian life is not a magic act. It is a real walk, a real following, a discipleship with the Lord. Besides being pastor of St. Patrick, some of you know that I'm also chaplain for a group called Courage. It's an international group within the church. We have a local chapter here in Philadelphia. And it's the apostolate in the church that helps families. With what? Well, dealing with people in their families or with they themselves who have same-sex attraction. In other words, I work with those people the world calls gay. Every two Fridays a month, we get together. And these are men and women with real crosses, with real struggles. But they seek the truth. They are more than sexual libido. They are men and women of God, called to be chaste, called to be in right relationship with good friends for others. It's an amazing work, and I'm happy to be part of it. Just this week, I got an email from a parent, "Father, my 24-year-old son is gay. How do I love him? I need your help." Okay. "Hey, Mom, how are you? By the way, you know, we don't use labels. Your son is your son. He's a child of God. And this may involve division in your house. It probably already does. But learning a clarity and a charity, how we speak of one another, and how we lead all things to Jesus, who's not a big whatever. Oh yeah, it doesn't matter. Oh no, everything matters. Jesus Christ. And the matter at hand is so important. Freedom, truth, and love." My friends, on this weekend in which we celebrate such things for our country, let us not be fooled in searching it in false ways. But let us thank God for showing us the way. And let us pray for the grace to help one another on that way, picking up the cross, whatever it is, and following him.